believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
Well, good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden, and I'm jazzed today like all the rest of the country is about this eclipse that I didn't get to see because I live in the Pacific Northwest. But oh well, I'll be here the next time it comes around in 300 years. Mr. Rice said he's going to join me also 300 years from now. I want to bring on my guests today right now for the update, and it's my joy to be on the air. I just love it, and I want to thank Virtues Healing Circles for sponsoring Mother's Justice Show. All right, how you doing, Mr. Rice?
I'm doing fine.
A lot of good news to talk about what happened last week, and a lot of good
stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, it was real good news last week. And I do want to say that the minister of Whole Gates Free Church of Christ, Minister Jimmy Hurd, and his wife did go down. They flew down to Texas on Friday evening so they could observe the eclipse.
Oh, okay. So they're from Texas.
So we have someone from Martin Luther King Jr. County that actually went down and viewed the eclipse. So I want to let everybody know Minister Jimmy Hurd did. So if you know him, call him and he'll tell you what it was like.
Okay.
But going back to last Thursday was the 56th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And for the last 6 years, the Martin Luther King Commemoration Committee, which is now the Martin Luther King Commemoration and Continuation Committee, because we can't commemorate what we have right now, looking at voting rights and everything else under attack that Dr. King and other civil rights leaders fought for and got for us through their efforts in the streets, which means that we're going to have to do the same thing again because they're dissipating at a rapid pace. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump's group is running on that. They've been successful in canceling out some of the gains that we made through the struggle in the 60s. And so it's a matter of us really fighting back to gain our rights. And the thing about it is two of the people that's doing it, Stephen Miller, who used to be with Trump, has America First thing, and he's a Jewish individual, but he wants to make America white again. And then Ed Bloom is the one that's suing all the colleges about allowing Black folks to have admission into these colleges. And based on the history, and I know about that community, they didn't spend 250 years of slavery. They didn't build this country. We did. As a matter of fact, the real Black Panthers and the 761st Tank Battalion during World War II freed a lot of Jews from concentration camps. So that's why I guess Ron DeSantis and Stephen Miller and Ed Bloom, I want you to know, people to know the history. And they're talking about, well, you know, it make the kids feel bad if they have to hear about slavery and people being lynched. Well, that's the history. And there's no way we can sugarcoat it. That's what happened to us as African descendants of the United States and slaves in America. Died in every war, built 256 years of free labor, which would make any country an economic power, 100 years of Jim Crow, going to war in segregated units, coming back to humiliation and degradation after you've defended the Stars and the Stripes, even though we know the Francis Scott Key Bridge, the author of
Well, you know, Mr. Wright, how are we going to inspire the young people who don't believe in none of this? I mean, we can talk right now because, yeah, we've been through it. But you got young people who absolutely have been assimilated. They never had a Black teacher. They don't even understand any of this. And so what are we going to tell the 18-year-old who just turned 18 and never voted before? What is our message for the people under 40? I mean, because
when the doors keep getting slammed in your face, eventually you will wake up. And sometimes people have to experience being discriminated against before they actually feel the effects.
Well, but that's a big one, because if Bloom with this guy wanted to overturn the fact that we can get into colleges, we're back to Brown versus the Board of Education, and that's settled law. They've already overturned 40 years of settled law with getting rid of the abortions, and it wasn't because of Black babies. Don't nobody care about Black babies, so we ought to know why it's asked about. So, but what are we going to tell them? Since they've never had a lived experience in Jim Crow, never seen a colored water fountain, and never seen a raggedy school with no books in it.
Well, we had used books in Shreveport through the fifth grade.
Well, we got the books when the white kids got new books. We got books in there to say, hey, nigga, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, so you and I came through another time. But what are we, how are we going to talk to young people who absolutely have had all have had 12 years of teachers who don't look like them?
Well, all I can say is that when they're confronted with discrimination, they'll start feeling the sting.
Well, by that time,
and a lot of times that lived experience, especially when you're discriminated against, you know, that's when you really understand what's going on. And if you look at just look at the numbers from the lack of opportunities that African-American owned businesses have with the state of Washington. And when you look at the other kind of activities that we should be engaged in, we thought to have equal access to, are being denied. So the thing is now we have Stephen Miller and Ed Blum now are talking about attacking the historical black colleges and universities.
Well, but this is the Confederate War again. I mean, this is a civil war that Trump brought in. I mean, Trump brought in the Civil War.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing to have it led by two people whose families were discriminated against, who were freed from some of their
ancestors. Yeah, but they're Zionists. They might be Zionists. And, you know, there's a difference between practicing people and Zionists. Zionists, that's the difference. See, you know, I don't know, but I agree with you. I agree with you I agree with you. They don't like us. So I just see it that way. They don't like us.
No. There's no question about it. Never have. That's why it was a social outing for a family, a white family, put their picnic baskets together, bring their kids to watch some black folks to be lynched and mutilated. That was a form of entertainment. Then you look at Black Wall Street. Look at what happened in Florida with the two brothers that went to vote. And is it Okogie, Florida?
Oh, in 1920, that was in Orange County, the next county over from where I'm from.
Anyway, they killed both of those brothers, killed all other black people in that area, burned down everything they owned, and took the land. That happened over and over and over again. And I can even recall my uncles talking with a little boy about when black soldiers came back from World War II. They would get waiting at a bus stop for a Greyhound or something. And they get attacked by a bunch of drunk white guys, and they're coming back from serving the country. So, no matter how bad things get, I'm going to always make sure the folks know the history and our contributions to this country.
I'll agree with you. You know, I'm a historian. I'll agree to that. I'm just talking about, you know, the young people and and how are they going to get animated? Because that's it. Well, I mean, women are getting animated a different way. I mean, I think a seat flipped in Alabama about abortions. And so I think the women are getting that, you know, that might be one way that the election get won. If women, vote for their own self-determination for their own bodies, that might be a way. But this stuff is deep. What you're talking about is... it's history, and then connecting the dots, because I know that what you all are doing with the Martin Luther King celebration up at Garfield, you really have been bringing on younger people, and getting them involved, and that's the key. I mean, mothers haven't been able to do that because I've been out here doing this commission, but we got to bring them in and. Because once they get in, like my oldest granddaughter, every time she got in the car, she said, Grandma, where's the meeting? Because everywhere I went, she went to a meeting. And I see you all are doing a great job. You and he were then bringing in young people up at Garfield, and they doing a great job on that event.
Well, the leader of that young lady took over about 5 years ago, Sade Moore. I think she was about 28 at the time. I don't want to tell her age. I'm not certain about it. But this past year, they had a group of young men, some like in the sixth grade, that gave speeches.
Right.
And I think Toya Taylor is one of the people in her. And Kendra Lydell had put that together. So they had very young people participating on the program at Garfield in front of 1,000 people. And these young men were like in the fifth and sixth and seventh grade.
Right, right. Well,
and they actually gave civil rights speeches. So to me, that gives me a lot of hope
going
into the future. And hopefully their older brothers and sisters will listen to them.
Oh, yeah. And then we learned that in the Black church, and to see that continually to go on. But I believe that our commemoration of Dr. King on his birthday was one of the, I mean, on the day that he was assassinated, I think that was one of the few in America. I mean, Seattle, like you say, has been outstanding, always remembering Dr. King in ways that I know the King family did something. I mean, it was on the news about them, but I didn't see any other major cities that had any commemoration of remembering his sacrifice and what he did for us. And, you know, I mean, a great sacrifice for those signs to say, I am a man, you know, and
that's
you had
right.
Some of those signs in the, had some of those signs in the church the other night. And it's our fight to be human. It's what this question is about. It's the fight to be human. The church said we wasn't, and I'm not going to let the church off. I mean, we got a group of people writing a letter to the Pope. We want an apology plus something else for starting slavery with Nicholas V and starting this stuff that we were not human beings. So, I mean, I think we got to attack it at the root and put some heat on the church because they did it.
Yes. And more of these major college universities up north are now confessing that they own slaves, sold slaves to build their institutions. But another thing you mentioned about us having the events here, the Day of Remembrance was the day that Dr. King was assassinated and the Martin Luther King holiday. This is Martin Luther King Jr. County.
Yes, it is.
So it's incumbent upon us to make sure we, you know, have anything.
That's
it's like dealing with Dr. King, because late Reverend Dr. Samuel McKinney and Mount Zion Brotherhood brought Martin Luther King Jr. up here in 1961. And thankful to now Reverend Lanisha de Bartlevin, who was then over the Northwest African American Museum, brought him up, Martin Luther King III up, to commemorate the 60th anniversary of Dr. King's visit in 61. And this was in it had to be postponed a year because of COVID, but we did have that celebration that remembrance. So, at the event that we had on the anniversary of Dr. King's assassination, called the Day of Remembrance, we did honor some people who are laboring, and we were pleased to have you there to do the invocation and bless the food. But I want to say that the Thelma DeWitty Trailblazer Award. Thelma DeWitty was the first Black school teacher in Seattle. And she, Loria Yeadon, president and CEO of the YMC of Greater Seattle, received that acknowledgement.
Yes.
She is the first woman and first person of color to be the president and CEO in 140 years.
Yeah, first African-American, yes.
Then A. Philip Randolph United Workers Award went to Katie Garrell, who's executive secretary and treasurer the MLK Labor Committee.
Yeah, that's right.
So we get input and recommendations from people in various organizations. Then the Edwin T. Pratt Community Leadership Award was Dr. Mike Tooley, who was executive director of the United Indians of All Tribes.
Oh, yes.
And I did a lot of work with Bernie White there.
I did, too.
And the day they occupied the property out at Fort Lawton, the police officers stopped me before I could get there. And one of them knew me. So they didn't let me go right then.
Right.
I did go later. And then the Edwin T. Pratt, Dr. Tooley got the Edwin T. Pratt Award. And then the Senator John Henry Ryan Public Service Award went to Lika Fernandez, who's the director of the State Office of Minority Women Business Enterprise. Senator John P. Ryan was the first African-American senator in the state of Washington in 1933.
Oh, really? I thought George Fleming was. Okay.
That was us. John Ryan. And then Carolyn Riley Payne, the past president of the King County NAACP, she received the George Washington Bush Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, yes.
Washington Bush was one of the founders. And the most important thing is that Carolyn Riley Payne served as the director of AXO, the Afro-Cultural, Technological, Scientific Olympics with the young folks. Were just about 40 years.
Yeah, wow.
And so she really paid her dues.
Yeah,
so
it's a wonderful
and then
event.
We also stopped everything at 6:02. That was the exact time when Dr. King was assassinated. We were 2 hours behind everybody else in Memphis. But anyway, we had to make sure we did that. And we got proclamations from the county, county exec, from the mayor. And there was another big event that was going on Thursday night too, and it was happening at I know Linda Taylor from the Urban League attended along with matter of fact, that's why Daryl Powell was there. He had to be with the mayor, that's his job, and they had an event up at New Holly. So we missed a lot of people there, but the thing about it is that the whole program will be on the MLKCC website.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
If anybody goes to Rainier Avenue Radio.world, it's right on their website as well, the entire program. And it also was live streamed. So I have heard compliments from people who weren't able to be there.
Right. It was a wonderful event.
Yeah, they were able to participate.
Right. And also, August 28th is coming up next. That's the day of the March on Washington. I will be 61 years now. Because I graduated the same year. So, So anyway, I want to be part of that, working on that. So I just thank you for coming up, coming on and give us an update. And I know that we'll get back to stuff that's happening in Washington, D.C. And I hope the NAACP is going to have a way to get out the vote and those kind of things. So I'll be talking to them about what their plans are to get young people in, to get people inspired and move beyond TikTok and all the other stuff that's out there right now. So, but we got some time to work on that. With this eclipse today, the world might have some new energy. Who knows?
I'm gonna call Cedric Richmond with the National Democratic Committee. Okay. Tell him they need to start putting money where they are missing the votes right now.
Don't wait until the last minute.
Money in the Black community right now.
In the Black community.
Young Asian, young Latino communities.
Yeah. And get some people get some people who knows how to talk about what's at stake here. So, but this is good. And then let me know how that goes on, because I'm going to be talking to my grandson. And I got four young adults. One in Atlanta, one in Chicago, one in Denver, and two here, actually. I got two here.
And three dynamic sons.
Yeah. Yes.
They all have
they.
Influence.
Yes, they are.
And
yes,
Omari
they...
got Converge Media, so he can really light it up.
All right. Well, you take care, Mr. I. All right. We'll talk to you next time. All right.
Thank you very much.
We listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. We'll be right back. We're taking a break. Thank you, Mr. I.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers honking. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Are you thinking of building a new home? A beautiful residence, custom designed to meet the needs of your family. If you are, then get started by listening to Designing and Building Your Dream Home with your host, KT. The show features interviews with award-winning residential architects, custom home builders, and other residential design and construction industry experts who will share their knowledge and expertise with you. That's Tuesdays at 1 p.m. right here on 1150 KKNW.
Talk radio for the heart and soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready. There's a train.
Oh, good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. I want to thank Virtues Healing Circles for sponsoring Mother's Justice Show. Also, you can check us out on that. We'll listen to us on a podcast. It's going to be posted after the show. But I'm so excited about this day, the energy of this day, because a lot of changes is happening in the world. We just don't know it yet, but, you know, the world, because we got to figure out how we're going to be here 300 years from now. So the next one, I'm going to bring my guest on. She's been on before, Miss Elaine Simon. She's looking for justice. She's working for justice for Jesse. Welcome, Elaine, back to Mother's Justice Show. It's a pleasure to have you on again.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to join you, Reverend.
Yeah. So I thank you. And I like your sign back there. I stop police brutality. And I want to, again, one thing about tragic death. I mean, death is always, it's all tragic in some ways. And sometimes you be with the person who's passing on, and you say, people say, oh, well, you know, they're gone, and, you know, they're in a better place now. I don't know why people say that, but that's how they say it. But the case is when it's tragic, people didn't get to say goodbye. I mean, they didn't even get to hold a person's hand while they were suffering, going through whatever that trauma that it was. And then you're still working on it. So I just want to acknowledge the fact that that you're still working on justice for Jesse. And knowing as a mother who has lost a child, I'm in that club that no mother, parent, auntie, godmother wants to be in. So I understand that how it changes your life forever. So welcome again back and be able to give us some, you know, to be able to give some updates and all. And I know you've been traveling a lot too. You've made a lot of connections around the country with other mothers and fathers. And so welcome again. And I on this auspicious day in the world, it is auspicious to see nature and such a performance that we can't even begin to do ourselves. I block out the sun. It takes a moon to do that. You know, I'm inspired by the energy from watching what I did see today. So not to damper or to downplay what you're here about, because it's a serious business. So you can go ahead, and I welcome you again.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, today was really interesting how we were all connected across the nation. So I watched it with my mom on TV because, you know, in Washington, we didn't have anything.
No. How did your mother, she watched it with you?
My mom, yes.
Yeah.
She's 88, and I will be 84 the next time it comes around.
Yeah. It won't be a full one. It won't be a total one in North America for a while, but we'll have the other ones probably come and go. But it's amazing, you know, one thing before we get talking about the serious thing. I mean, it's all serious. I mean, it's amazing how the science has caught up, but the armagnac, my grandmother always had, you know, when you plant by it. In fact, I bought one the other day, I mean, in January to remember her by. But all of this is always, they were plotting all of this stuff before science got to be so heavy and technology like it is today. And I was just thinking about what would the our ancestors, like 500 years ago, if they saw and you know, and the sun went away, did they think that the world was, you know, forever ending, and was they hiding and running for cover? I mean, I mean, what happened to the animals? Did the horses get spooked? And
they didn't have that same kind of you know, information that we have today.
Right. And those kinds of things. But the floor is yours. I had to talk about your beloved Jesse. You want to tell us about who Jesse was and always will be to you and your family, and what you're doing.
I liked what you said earlier when you were talking about the trauma and how all of us across the nation have had loss similar, and how each of us embrace it. And you also mentioned about my traveling. And I think a lot of my traveling has been to garnish that kind of strength from other mothers and fathers and folks that have gone through similar experiences. And One common thing that we all have is the fact that the last person that was with our loved one was the person that killed our loved one. And that one is the hardest one, is they had the opportunity to hold their hand or reach out in compassion and or just sit there with lack of empathy. And that piece of it is really hard, because in Jesse's case, by the time he got to the hospital and we were notified, he was already,
deceased.
Deceased. Yeah. And so we didn't get to spend those last moments with him. And I know that was really hard for his biological mother, Carrie, the fact that she could not be there with her son. And in our family, we've had a lot of tragedy since the murder of Jesse. His biological mom, Carrie, died on June 17th, 2021. And then his younger biological brother, Terrell, died on August 5th, 2022. And I raised Terrell. So Terrell and the Saray family have been my family for over 20 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So I started this fight with a lot of people by my side. And I had made it very clear to the courts, each time a family member has died, that they're not in the courtroom because they don't want to be there. They're not in the courtroom because they have died waiting for trial to start.
Well, a broken heart. I mean, but my friend Alberta, I love, Tyrone Love's mom. He got killed 2009 by someone who just shot him. I was not a police officer. But, a broken heart will, there's a certain thing, that's true, about what a broken heart will do for you. Would you want to just give I'm always mindful of asking people to recount things, because that means you're reliving it all again. But just briefly, if you could just bring out maybe some of our listeners who don't know about Jesse, don't know what town it happened in, and that the police officer was a serial person who had harmed other people. I say serial, multiple offenses that the policy said it was in policy, but we know that there's a consciousness to that. There's nothing in policy when you've killed somebody. I mean, I don't care what the man's law says, it's not true, not at all. Yeah.
Just lived life by his own terms. He had exited from foster care system to being unhoused, and then he ended up going to different families' home and living and then becoming homeless again. So that was his cycle. That was his journey. Carrie significantly says, she lived in Kent. He was homeless in Kent. They would see each other. And, she really wished that she could have done more for her son. But Jesse had his own journey. What took him to Auburn on that fateful day on May 31st, 2019 will continue to haunt all of us. What was he doing there? His homeless journey is in Kent. And even though it's not that far away, it still was a significant distance from Kent.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And so, I relived it. I have went there. I've walked his last steps. I took the journey from Walgreens across to Starbucks and over to Sunshine Grocery. And I tried to figure out what was going on. And who on that journey could have reached out in love and compassion? When he was at Starbucks, could someone have said, is there anyone we need to call? Do you want us to reach out to a family member? And so those are things that go through my mind in the time he left Walgreens to the time of Sunshine Groceries and the time that he encountered Officer Nelson for the second time. What could have changed Jesse's trajectory? And I think that's the hardest part, is where was compassion during that time?
Well, I tell you that's a great question, because I as I've been at this work 30 a generation, I had no idea in 1990 I'd still be doing this work. And whenever there's an event happening or unfolding on and it's on the news as it unfolds, I know immediately if the hostage situation is European American or other people because they don't wait as long. I mean, when the suspect or the person who's having a mental ill crisis is not a European America American, then the whole playbook is differently. And Jesse was a young man of different ethnicity. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was Cambodian.
Yeah, right, Cambodian. And so it's really ironic that how race matters in policing. And now, if I believe in down in West Virginia and all those places where you have a lot of poor European Americans, and then I mean, they might be getting similar treatment, but we don't know about that. The only we know about is what we've experienced here in other places. And and compassion is not a word that that's used. And I think if it was, I think it would have a lot less police involved shootings. But also, if the policy was different, and also I think Washington State uses, I think they still allowed to use hollow point bullets. So that means that there's no recovery from a hollow point bullet when somebody is shot by a police officer. It's no recovery for that individual. That's another thing I think people should look into. Put a stop to it. If that is true, then while you're using hollow point bullets that destroys the inside of the person when they're shot, it's a whole different kind of reality. But compassion, I mean, we can dream a world of compassionate policing, how it could be compatible. I mean, I believe it could be compatible. I mean, because a lot of times when a person is having a mental ill crisis, they really do need lower voices. You need to talk to them lower and not escalate it with the loud voices and the demand, because sometimes these synapse are not, they're not firing altogether. I know that's a bad word. I mean, I don't want to use that word, but they're not connecting
Yeah,
like
it's like you're either going to exasperate the situation
that's right.
or you're going to de-escalate.
That's
And
right.
the
That's right.
only people that can have that choice in that scenario is in my foster son's case was the police officer and Jesse. That had there's so many different ways that it could have played out. And knowing Jesse, and I can't speak on behalf of Officer Jeff Nelson, but Jesse knows how to de-escalate. He's been in, residential treatment centers, and that's part of their training is how to take it down.
Right.
And I've seen it. I've seen Jesse be able to de-escalate when he lived with me, and it was remarkable. I mean, so in that situation, I truly believe, and I wish that things could have been handled differently.
Yeah. And I'm sure his family did too. And but also I going back to the officer, I think that there's more involved. He's been involved in more than one case. That left an individual death died that an individual died at. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really speak much upon the facts behind all that, but he
Okay,
did have two
that's right.
other
Right.
gentlemen before
Right.
Jesse.
Right.
Brian Scammon was the first fatality. We don't know much about Brian's and that encounter. And then the second young man was Isaiah Obit.
Oh, okay.
And there was supposed to be an inquest, and my understanding, they have put the inquest on hold for now. And then Jesse Saray.
Wow.
And I truly believe that these 4 years waiting for the trial has prevented a fifth death,
Well, yeah.
a
Well,
fourth
because
death.
he's off the streets. you know,
Yep.
off the streets, and that's a good thing on some ways. Really and truly, it's a good thing because there's a lot of escalation out there, because you know, people they see a lot and they get desensitized, and a lot of times I don't think that they just here conscious enough to really sometimes do these jobs and that type of thing. But let's take a little break here and come back and talk some more about Jesse and what he meant to you and his family. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Rem Walden. We'll be right back.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com. Healing.com today.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, no matter the season. Talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Alternative Talk 1150.
Oh, wow. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. I mean, and to listen to Aretha send a bridge over troubled water. We're so grateful today to have Elaine on. And we're talking about beloved Jesse, who died at the hand of a police officer out in Auburn a few years ago. So welcome back, Elaine. Yeah. Welcome. Yeah, that's a great song for what we're doing, A Bridge Over Troubled Water. Yeah, it is trouble.
Yeah, it's been a journey. On August 20th, 2020 is when Officer Jeff Nelson was arrested and charged for second degree murder and first degree assault. And we've been waiting, coming up on 4 years, waiting for this trial to begin. And so it's been a journey for us, you know, and is it by design? Perhaps. The support that we had back in August 20th, 2020, and the support we have today, you know, has shifted. People are moved on in their lives. And I'm one thing I'm asking to the community out there is pack the courtroom, come and support the Saray family. Bear witness to a law that was passed in 2018, the I-940, and let's put it to work. You mentioned earlier, this could set precedent for other families if we're able, I mean, when we get him convicted, we could show that this statute and use of force can really create a difference in how policing is done. And hopefully then the police themselves will start looking at how they're doing their job.
How they're doing their job. You know, I really agree with you on that piece. Also, I'm hoping that Washington State will do like Keith Ellison did in Minnesota. He brought the best. He was willing to pay the best for attorneys to try that case, and they got a conviction. You got to want to win. A prosecutor got to want to win, fight to win charges, or if he's charging a police officer. Yeah. And so many times, the will isn't there. And that's why you have to bring all the bear. Because I think that we had brought all the bear on the Manny Ellis case, you'd have got a different results. Because Keith Ellison set the bar high in Minnesota. I know him personally before he ever got elected. I stayed at his house. I went to in Minnesota for a police conference many, many years ago. But he brought the best. He brought the best, even if they weren't from his state. If they were good, he brought the best to Minnesota. And that's what Washington State needs to do. Washington State needs to, if we're going to make this law successful, you got to bring the best and you got to be willing to go to the mat to win a conviction, because you have to prove without a shadow of a doubt that it's the job of the prosecutor to prove the case.
Yeah.
It's a job.
And I think King County Prosecuting Office, we've seen a turnover. Dan Sandberg has since retired. Our original prosecutors have since, one retired and one went back to their original duty. And they ended up hiring outside prosecutors, which I think was a strategic move, because then they're vested. They're being, that this is a case that means a lot, and it's our county money that's paying for it. And so, it's something to watch.
But the state is not prosecuting this case on the I-940?
No, it's the King County Prosecution Office.
Okay.
Manuel Ellis's case came from the Attorney General's office. Okay. So that was funded through the state, I believe, that hired the private prosecutors.
Okay.
And in our case, King County, Dan Sandberg at the time, then hired the county.
Okay. That was before they brought in the I-940 too, wasn't it?
No.
No, it was. Okay.
Both after I-940.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if Manuel Ellis was under I-940 or not.
I thought it was though. I mean, I thought it was.
I don't know.
I thought it was the first one that the state had prosecuted. I mean,
yeah, I really don't know.
No, I'll check it out.
I don't want to misquote myself.
No,
I know our case is under the I-940.
Okay.
And so that was the first Washington State charged under I-940, because Jesse was murdered before Manuel Ellis. And
I see. Okay.
And ours took longer to get to court.
Wow. Well, all I know, and this is what I know for sure for doing this work over 30 years, it takes a lot for prosecutors to prosecute a case hard against police officers. I mean, it does. And so having other prosecutors to come in to work to do that, I think it's a good idea. But, I think that's a good idea. Because we've seen, though,
the Washington Coalition for Police Accountability.
Oh, yeah.
Have tried really hard to get the independent prosecution bill to go through.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, I think we're going to bring it back next year, because
it's been hard. It's been a real hard bill to get
passed. Well, that's because you elect county prosecutors. I mean, and that's, you got that hurdle. I mean, you're usurping their power. So what is left for them to do in the county? Because they're represented. They're on the, the government is set up for each county to have a prosecutor. And a prosecutor, and they do felonies, and stuff. In the city attorneys does misdemeanors. So that's how the whole system is set up. So I can understand why it's a hard thing to get past.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful. I mean, would you tell people what dates look like it's going to be for people to show up in the courtrooms? Do you have any dates yet?
Right now, and everything could change.
Oh, yes.
We've seen that happen. My understanding is jury selection begins April 22nd. I do not know if that is going to be in person or not. That's still being discussed. And then after jury selection, we have a tentative date of May 6th to begin the trial. But that Wow. depends how long jury selection lasts.
Right. Okay.
I believe they're just going through the questions and the qualifications, and I mean, that in itself will be fascinating. If it's
Right.
in person, I recommend going. I
Right.
plan to be there.
Oh, yeah, good.
I've been at every court hearing since August 20th, 2020,
Wow.
either via Zoom or in person.
Right.
I've watched every motion. I take notes because I like to be able to see what is redacted and
Right.
what actually makes it into the trial. And
Right.
you will never know if you're
Right.
not watching every step of the way.
Right.
When you walk into the trial on May 6th, you don't know everything that happened before. It is, if it's not there, it's not there.
Well, and the system is designed to protect police officers. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's a biased system, and that's, the taxpayers' money is actually used to protect them in so many ways. I mean, there's a discovery and there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on, but we when we were when we had a lot of volunteers, and Mothers was doing a little bit better job than what it is today because I'm on the commission coming off of it real soon. But we used to have people go sit in the courtrooms. I mean, because really, you learn a lot when you're in the court watching the procedure, watching the judge. I mean, in fact, we filed complaints against judges in the past because of their behavior and those kinds of things. You catch the slightest little racism, the slightest little slur. You'd be able to catch that if you're sitting in there in the court. Because some people sometimes they slip and they say things in a way that you know that it's an improper statement that they made. See, yeah.
And one of the things that I'm learning is we're in the room with the defendant. And so learning how to, I don't want to say control your emotions,
But you got to breathe through it. You learn how to breathe. Yes, that's how you don't faint.
and also I want to make this hit home. When we're taking breaks, when you're coming in, when you're going to the bathroom, when you're out in the foyer, you don't know, or in the elevator, you don't know who's with you.
Right.
So be very mindful about what you're saying,
Right.
because if you're talking among yourselves and there's someone from the opposition there, that can cause a certain type of thing. So you're just gonna have to learn how to,
Right. Right.
compose yourself. And if I was a male and I'm in the bathroom with Officer Jeff Nelson, be cool. Just be cool, because
Okay.
we don't want that to reflect back on the Saray family.
Oh, no. But also, I know you've made a couple of trips here. I mean, so you want to just talk? We got a few minutes left here, not very many. But you want to make a few remarks about some of the people you've met, or some of the places you've gone, and met other families who also are looking for justice for their loved ones.
I found some mentors in my travels. There's a woman named Sheila, and she's out of Florida, and her nephew, officer, actually was charged, convicted, and I think he got 28 years.
Oh, out of Florida. That's boy, that's unusual.
And
I'm from
so I
Florida.
have
Wow.
learned a lot from her. What I do when I travel, of course, I'm meeting other family members, but my most important is to meet families that have gone through the criminal
Right.
versus the civil.
Right. Right. That's a
Another
whole different
woman who
system.
has given me amazing, amazing wisdom is Gwen Carr, and she's Eric Gardner's
Oh,
daughter.
yes.
And
Yes.
I went to Staten Island last year and got to spend and share space with that family. I mean, there's a lot of families. I don't want to
Right. Oh, no,
sing
it's a
them
lot.
out.
It really is. I mean, really and truly, since I've been doing this work, since 1990, across the country doing tribunals and going to Chicago and doing all kinds of things in a lot of other cities, it is just a lot of people. And yes, a lot of people. But I mean, just being in camaraderie with people who have a similar story. That their son might have just gone to the store, or they whatever, and they didn't come home again. I mean, and the officer is still on the force, and those kinds of things. So it is something to be with those people and to be with people who have a similar story and how they're making it. I mean, because time goes on. I know that time goes on, and it's been 19 years since my son passed away. So time does go on, you know, and then how do you live? How do you be in the world as time goes on and you're still waiting for justice and all kinds of stuff? I think that's what you might learn from other people when you go and be with them.
You know, and I keep trying to find my joy. It's like, what was my joy before May 31st, 2019?
Right.
And I want to find that. And, you know, once this is over, then it's time for Elaine to just kind of do that next part of my trajectory, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, one of the things that gives you joy along the journey is to remember the small things about Jesse. You know, I mean, because really joy along the journey saves your heart as you go through the walk.
Our last event for Jesse, we did one last June. Mm-hmm. Jesse always wanted to do break dancing, and he was supposed to audition with the Massive Monkeys.
Okay.
He was really good at head spins, and Massive Monkeys came and performed at our event celebrating Jesse. And so that in itself was just so amazing. And, mm-hmm. you know, that day was just fun. It was coming together and eating and entertainment from so many people in our community. And so that was how I found joy and how we celebrated Jesse's life.
Wow. Well, that's what's been my experience is, looking for it along the way. I mean, and that type of thing. So I'm glad that's happening for you. Now, do you have an address or you have a phone number or anything you want to give out or anything of that way? Or you got a Facebook page or, you know?
Yeah, we have a Justice for Jesse Facebook group.
Okay.
I don't remember my website by memory. Hold on, I'll look up real quickly. But we do have a website that's really informative. And that website will keep you guys up and informed of all the trial stuff. So let me get you that website for you. It's justice4 jessesarray.info. J-U-S-T-I-C-E 4 J-E-S-S-E. SARREY.info. And then if you go to our petition at change.org, it's under Hold Auburn Police Department for Accountability. And if you go there and sign the petition and see our demands, then that gives you an opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad we could put that out because we had a call out there at Federal Way one time, at Auburn one time, and this particular officer was involved in it. I'm not going to talk about that case right now because it wasn't adjudicated. It didn't ever get to court, but like having a history of harming people. So, anyway, all I can say is that we're with you here, and whenever you have something you want to announce to the public and you want to get it out, you know, Mother's Justice Show is available for you. It is a podcast, and our job is to keep the grassroots voice alive, not only in Seattle but across the nation, and that's what we're trying to do here. I mean, sometimes we do esoteric talks about how to keep our spirit well. Why we do this work, because that's what we have to do. But thank you, Elaine, for being my guest.
Thank you, Reverend, and I hope to see you in court.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. Have a great week, and let the energy from the eclipse take you to the next one. All right. Thank you. This is Reverend Walden. Talk to you later.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.